Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's your boy Johnny Bananas, and I'm going to be covering a brand new season of The Challenge USA on CBS that, of course, I will be completely dominating on my podcast, Death Taxes and Bananas, on the Ringer Reality TV Podcast. Head over to that feed and follow us on Spotify so you never miss an episode.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
And I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock. If you want to participate in this podcast and have your voice heard, give us a call at 646-STEW-138. And now, on to our stories. Jacoby.
Yes.
Have you ever tried to cook anything in the dishwasher?
Why would I ever do that? Why?
Well, people on TikTok are cooking salmon in the dishwasher by putting it in some kind of watertight container, like tinfoil or something, and then rinsing it in the dishwasher, putting it in for a cycle. It's kind of like a sous vide type of cooking.
Yes.
Which just seems completely stupid.
Yes, and, thank you very much. Do you know what else? Like, do you know what's always next to a dishwasher?
An oven?
An oven, exactly. So it's not like, oh, I'm in the middle of the woods. This is the only thing I can do.
It's not like you're about to go camping and you have to drink hard juice.
Exactly. You're right next to an oven. Just cook it in the oven. I'm sure it takes less time and it tastes better. And the weirdest thing about this is this was on the Johnny Carson show in 1976. So this has been going on for decades.
Well, that's the thing with these TikTok trends is they just catch on, but it's nothing is ever new, of course.
No.
It's just just a trend. But you make a good point about time. That's a really crucial one because salmon actually cooks really quickly.
Yes.
Especially if you're broiling it. It's among many things you can make. It's a fast dish meal. So why would you slow it down by putting it in the dishwasher, which always takes longer than it should? I'm just how is this cycle still going?
It's multiple hours. 15. Yeah. That is way too long.
It doesn't make any sense. Also, I can't really think of anything that would really withstand the dishwasher cycle in a way that I'm certain no water or soap was getting in.
Or soap, yeah.
And if it is withstanding that, then I just think that that's gross too.
You're essentially just steaming it. So why don't you just steam it? You're right next to an oven. It
doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. It can't taste better. You know what? I want some steamed salmon right now. No one said that.
I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine doing it. There's some TikTok trends and I'm like, yeah, I'll try that. But even for content, I just don't see myself putting salmon, which is expensive, into the dishwasher.
Another good point. And then you're going to taste it. You'll be like, yep. That tastes like salmon.
Tastes like shitty salmon.
Yep.
Great.
There it is.
Hope I haven't poisoned myself.
It's also one of those, who's the first person to do this and why?
Well, the guy on the Johnny Carson show.
I guess so.
I think it was more of a promoting dishwashers at the time than anything else, actually.
Oh, dishwasher salesman?
Yeah. Or something like that. Oh, goodness. All right. Let's move on. This is just a story that really... It's not a whole lot to it, but it really strikes a chord for both of us. The Independent in the United Kingdom, where we get a lot of our food stories, had a column just about the joy of eating alone. And you and I both enjoy eating alone. We don't want to eat together, but we share a love of sitting at the bar, ordering, maybe with your book, maybe with your phone. And you're just, it's just a great, relaxing, and also like transactional experience.
I love eating alone. I went golfing with a buddy and our plan was to eat together afterwards. And I basically bailed on him because I would prefer to eat by myself. And I was like, I just hung out with you for like 4 hours. There's nothing new to talk about. I'd rather just read my book and be by myself. So I didn't lie, but I was like, yeah, man, I'm just going to go home. I didn't go home. I went out and ate by myself. I just didn't want to be with him. Love him to death too. Sorry, Rom.
I had a summer job once where like all the other interns went out for lunch together. And I was like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to go read. And I was just like, I'd rather just eat alone and read, but thanks anyway.
Yes. I've got a good book going right now. And I am just, I would just, there's nothing I would rather do than like order some spicy ramen and just read my book.
Oh, interesting. What's your ideal solo meal at the bar?
My ideal solo meal at the bar would be a really good Caesar salad and then some high quality like pasta. With some vegetables and like Alfredo.
That sounds really good. You should go to Pasta Louise in Park Slope. They have a really good high quality pasta with vegetables. Recently, I was on the subway on the way to a friend's for dinner and the subway broke down. So we had to evacuate. And I was like, you know what? I'm just not going. This isn't happening for me. And so I turned around and then I went and I ate Mexican food at the bar alone while watching Love Island on my phone. And it was a great night.
That's just Julietting so hard. All you have to do is just take a dip in the Mediterranean and you are just peak Juliet right there.
I was just like, I really like, this isn't happening. I'm so far away. I'm going to be late and it's just not worth it. And I was behind on Love Island. So yes, there you go.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
All right. Let's move on. We got an old heist. Mike is a great producer because when he knows that like, you know, maybe it's like a lull, it's summer doldrums. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just revisit our great heist. This one is about maple syrup in Canada.
So, 2,700 tons of maple syrup with a street valuation of $18 million. This is not like, hey, someone broke into the liquor store and took a bottle of booze. Like, this is $18 million worth of, and it took forever, too. Think about that. 2,700 tons. A ton is 2,000 pounds. 2,000 times 2,700. That's a lot.
So much, so heavy. Again, the transporting of all of this is always the biggest mystery.
It's like half a million pounds of syrup.
Who wants that? Why do you want that much syrup in your life to begin with?
And who do you sell it to? Like, what's the market for this? Seriously.
I don't know.
If someone said, buy one, get one free, I'd be like, nah, I don't want to carry around that second bottle of syrup. I'm definitely not like, do you have half a million pounds of syrup?
It's crazy. I mean, I will say they did it over 2,700. Sorry, they did it over 10 months, but still.
Even then.
It's still so much.
That's also 270 tons a month.
Four guys.
Yeah.
So they're each doing 45 tons a month. That's
and they're,
a ton.
They're each making like $4.5 million.
I don't know how you transport it. Honestly, all the like natural things you can get from trees seem like really hard to get out too. Like it's sap. I mean, syrup. It seems hard.
I don't think so.
Hard to get. Last season on The Bachelorette, they tried to like tap a tree to get some syrup, but it didn't work.
Growing up, every year we would go to like a syrup place. I don't know what they're called. And they would just give you fresh snow with syrup on it. It was so good.
That sounds
so
awesome.
Good.
In like Vermont?
Yeah. I don't know. I was in Massachusetts. Maybe it was Massachusetts. Maybe it was Vermont. But like it's just Vermont. Fresh snow with syrup. Like what's the best thing to put syrup on? Pancakes? Nope. Fresh snow.
Wow. That's interesting.
It's so good. So
I'm
going to
Google that. I'd love to try that in the winter.
Oh, it is so, 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 so good. This is insane.
Interesting.
Who did they sell it to?
Unclear. I think it was just like black market. But there's an episode on Netflix that you can watch about this called Dirty Money.
Oh, yeah. I want to see that. So, it seems
we'll
like...
It.
Hold on a second. The series is called Dirty Money. Got it.
Yeah, there's a single episode.
I was
going to
say, I was like, that is a poorly titled documentary about a syrup theft. So really, they really need to go back to the drawing board on that titling.
Jacoby, of everything we've ever discussed, what are you most likely to steal? Syrup? Cheese? Alcohol?
Oh, what am I most likely to steal?
For me, it's definitely cheese. I love cheese.
Yeah, it's expensive too.
Yeah.
A little bulky. The book I'm reading is about someone who steals art. So I've been really into stealing stuff recently.
I hope this is the captain we called last week in Minnesota isn't listening.
I hope so. But this guy makes it seem really easy to steal expensive art. Like, really easy. He just walks in and takes it in the middle of the day, and he never gets caught for like years.
What book is this?
The Art Thief. Again, good title. What's it about? Guy steals art. What's it called? The Art Thief. Not called Dirty Money, and it's about syrup.
I just read a book about Theodore Roosevelt's journey to the Amazon to uncharted land. And I learned about how people used to go to the Amazon to extract rubber from different trees. And it just seemed really hard. That's what made me think about it.
It seems really hard. Well, guess what? Stealing art seems really easy. Really, really easy.
All right, let's move on. Next story. This is something that I'm really actually quite excited about. There is a new ride coming to Holiday World and Splash and Safari, which is an amusement park in Indiana, and they are going to have a gravy boat themed roller coaster.
You're really excited about this. I'm going to push back. I'm pushing back on that. You're not really excited about a gravy themed roller coaster in Indiana.
When I saw this story, I was like, great idea.
No.
I swear to God.
Terrible idea. Terrible, terrible, terrible idea. Of all the things that you could theme a roller coaster around, why are you choosing to do it around Thanksgiving? And of all the things that Thanksgiving themed roller coaster could possibly have, why pick gravy?
Because it's a boat. It's like something you can get in, a gravy boat. So it lends itself to like a carriage on a ride.
I guess. This is insane that you support this. Of all the things that you could theme a roller coaster around, you're picking a holiday? A meal?
This place in Evansville, Indiana does like a lot of like theme rides around different holidays. So this is like their Thanksgiving ride. They also do like Christmas ones, Halloween ones.
But they don't take it down. It's still going to be there year round. It opens in March.
I mean, I think it just sounds fun. I don't know.
No,
I like
it does not.
I would prefer that to like a haunted house. I'd love a gravy something. Oh my God, I hate haunted houses. I get scared. I don't like people like coming up and like yelling at me.
Oh yeah.
Like jumping in my face.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I know. I was in LA one time. They took it like way too seriously. I was like, you guys are actors. I get it. But like, come on.
Have you ever been to Not Scary Farm?
No.
During Halloween? It's Not Scary Farm? Oh no. My God. They go way hard there. I hate Halloween culture, but I like Thanksgiving culture. So I'm in on this. Just feels very Indiana to me. I'm like, yeah, it makes sense.
It does feel Indiana-ish. But I just feel like
that I would have gone to in college. Like, oh, let's go for a day trip to Indiana.
It's going to play really well for like 2 weeks in November. But then in the middle of the summer, you're like, let's go on the gravy boat ride. And you like around. It's kind of like Bug's Life. Like you're like really small, I think is the idea. And you go yes. past all of these different like dishes and stuff. I think that's the idea is that you're in a gravy boat, like a little tiny person, like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. No. Yes. And that's it's correct. Also, it's for kids. It's like grandmas can go on it and little kids. I'm like, no, I want to go on a scary roller coaster, not a gravy themed roller coaster. Well, I can't believe you started with, I'm really excited about this. I thought you were going to do a different story.
I think it sounds great.
No, it doesn't sound great. A gravy themed roller coaster sounds great to you.
Yes, I'm into it.
No way. Well, that can be a Food News road trip that you can go on by yourself. You can do lots of solo dining while you're there.
Okay, great. United, can we go to Indiana? Yeah. all right, let's move on to another story that hits close to home, and close to home being my heart. This comes to us from Australia.
Literally the furthest from home possible.
It's true. Very far away.
Very far from home.
Someone at a pub called the Cornish Arms in Brunswick, Melbourne, ordered Pinot Grigio and asked for ice in it. And on the check, when they were paying, the server had written Pinot Grigio, ice in it, fucking bogans, like insulting them for putting ice in their Pinot Grigio. As someone who frequently orders a white wine, usually a Sauvignon Blanc, and asks to add sparkling water and maybe a twist of orange, I was offended by this. Because like, listen, you want your wine how you want your wine. Cornish Arms.
Yeah. And it's like, what do you care if they want ice in the wine? And it opens up this something that I need to confess.
Okay.
I like ice in pretty much everything. Mm-hmm. I like ice in beer. Like if you put ice in Coke, why don't you put ice in beer?
Why don't you put ice in beer?
That's what I'm, again, I've done it before. I'm like, this is fantastic. Why am I ashamed to put ice in my beer? Like, why if the wine is supposed to be cold, why not put ice on it? That's what you do to every other beverage, but for some reason, beer and wine, we're like, oh no, that's, you can't do that. You're gonna get made fun of by the staff.
I get it a little bit more with wine, even though I have no problem with it, because it's like supposed to be eaten in a very specific way or drank in a really specific way and supposed to like get different tasting notes and like maybe it waters it down or whatever. But with beer, isn't the point often for it to be as cold as possible? So yes. Like, shouldn't you put ice in it?
Yes. And like a light domestic beer is watery anyway, so you're not gonna like ruin the flavor. Right. It's just like, why don't I put this over ice? Every soda, if someone gave me a soda with no ice, I'd be like, this is insane. But if you give me a beer, I'm like, oh, can't put ice in that. That's crazy.
I mean, I just Googled it and all the internet says is, well, it dilutes it. It's like, yeah, we know. That's fine.
I get it. But I don't complain about Coca-Cola.
Right.
You know, it dilutes Coca-Cola just as much.
Right. And I like the taste of Coke Zero. So like adding ice to it, yeah, it changes the taste, but sometimes it's worth it.
And again, I've had red wine, and my buddy, former best friend Mike, would just pour it over ice. I'm like, what is this? He's like, do you ever drink sangria? I'm like, yes. He's like, same thing, just no fruit.
Well, it's not exactly true, but yes, no fruit. And usually there's like another like liqueur in there or something, but still, yes, I get the point.
It was good. It makes it easier to drink.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because wine's not good.
Yeah, wine does not taste good. And I've said this before on the podcast. It took me, I'm 45. I started drinking probably at like 13, right? So it's 32 years of drinking. It took me 30 years to like look in the mirror and be like, I don't like wine. I just don't like it.
That's why I add seltzer to it, because it doesn't taste better, and orange. And I'm like, oh, this tastes good now.
Yes, you've taken all of the parts of wine out of the wine. Like, now it's good. Now you are acceptable.
I feel like actual food and beverage professionals have to be so horrified by this podcast. They're just probably like, this is the worst shit I've ever heard.
I don't like wine. I don't like that it took me this long to realize I don't like wine.
I don't like a lot of red wines.
Yes.
Sometimes I like it for like the vibe, because I'm like, this feels appropriate, but yes. I don't ever like want to drink it.
If I was by myself at my home, I would never open a bottle of wine and pour myself a glass. I would never.
I will say sometimes I crave a beer. Like occasionally I'd be like, you know what would be really good right now is an ice cold beer.
Yes. I feel like that most of my waking hours.
So you actually like the taste?
Yes.
Interesting.
I do. Because
most alcohol I don't actually like the taste of.
I'm going to have a beer over ice today. I can't think of the last time I did it. It's probably been a decade. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, one of those cups that you freeze and then like the outside of it is frozen.
Like a frosted mug?
Yeah, but it's actually like has like water, has like a layer of water.
Oh, yeah. Frozen. I know those. Yeah. Like, God, I remember getting off a 10-hour drive and getting to St. Louis and going to the hotel bar and getting a Bud Light in a frosted mug. You know, like they make Bud Light there. It was the best beer I've ever had in my life.
That does sound really good, yeah.
Yeah,
sounds
after
great.
After a long car ride, you know what I mean? It's just, God, that was so good. I'm definitely having a beer over ice today.
And I like a really cold Mexican beer.
Someone call and explain why we can't put ice in our beer.
And if you want to call in, call 646-STEW-138. Shall we move on?
Yes. I want a beer.
This place is we support ice.
Yes, we are pro ice podcast.
The main thing to understand. All right, on the topic of beer, Goose Island. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, of course. Goose Island. It's good.
Yeah, sure. I don't like it, but it was, again, when I feel like I mentioned college a lot. That's because when I did all my
Chicago
drinking.
Chicago beer, though. It is a Chicago beer, yeah.
So we used to go to Goose Island, like brewery tour was like a thing. They are making a rice pudding flavored beer.
Quick follow-up question on this one. Sorry to break format. Why?
I don't know. Can you put ice in it?
What
do you think?
I'm sure you can. But why rice pudding beer? Why? Just why? There's lots of other things.
I guess because like rice and barley are similar. And so beer is like a barley beverage. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, kind of.
Should we get a beer professional on the podcast to explain stuff to us?
No, I'd rather just bullshit about it.
Can our beer professional please call us at 646-STEW-138? We'd love to hear from you.
A brewer, I believe they're called.
Well, I don't know. Maybe a different beer professional. We'll just like know about
specialist?
It.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, or like, I don't know. So, or a beer professional. I don't want to limit it to a brewer.
Yeah, but they could be a distributor, be a truck driver. There's a lot of different jobs in the beer
professional
business.
Taster. I don't know. Someone who covers beer for a magazine.
Sure.
Is that your beat?
I'm the beer beat. Yeah, the beer beat.
Exactly. I don't know why one would do this. And as I said a few moments ago, I just like a classic Mexican beer, a cerveza.
Yeah.
A Pacifico, a Corona, a Modelo, you know. A
michelada.
Like
I love a michelada.
Me too. I love that. So good. It's different.
Again, it's
kind of
like
Mexico,
you with
though.
Wine. It's like a michelada. It's just like I'm taking beer and I'm taking like all the elements of beer out of it and just making it to make tomato juice.
But it's going to taste awesome. And it's going to make me drunk.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
And I love tomato. It's awesome. When you go to Mexico and order one, though, it's a little bit different. Like there's more options and stuff. Because
yeah.
I did this multiple times.
Great. Good job by you.
Thanks. All right, Jacoby. One thing we've been circling all summer long and we've never really definitively gotten into was our disagreement about gazpacho. So we are bringing back our erstwhile segment of Food Fight. And we are here to discuss this controversial cold soup. Jacoby, we know where you stand. We know that you're for it. And you are against it.
Hard.
Please make your case against gazpacho.
First, what is gazpacho? Gazpacho is Andalusian gazpacho, is a cold soup and drink made of raw blended vegetables. It originated in southern regions of the Iberian Peninsula and spread into other areas. It's widely eaten in Spain. Okay, gazpacho is not soup. It is blended vegetables, okay? So it is a vegetable smoothie. It is not soup.
You're saying there's no broth, so there's no soup.
Yes, and it does not taste good. Like, I've never had one and been like, that is some good gazpacho.
10 minutes.
Never. I've never, ever, ever had a good gazpacho in my life. Ever.
A COVID season one staple for me was the Union Market gazpacho. I like really enjoyed it and have it for lunch a lot. I don't know if you remember, but the summer of 2020 was really hot.
Yes.
And that gazpacho hit the spot for me. And the broth thing, I understand. Like, if we're defining soup as something that is made from a broth in a stock, I get that. But I think that part of what you're talking about here is you associate a certain warmth and a certain feeling to soup, and that you expect that gazpacho to have it as well because of your own expectations. I would say gazpacho is just a different experience. And is it different? How is it different than like a chunky soup?
Because chunky soup is hot and it tastes good. Gazpacho is just like a V8, basically. You're basically just having like a V8. That's what it is. You're having a V8.
I like a V8 too.
V8, not bad. I tried one recently. I was like, why did this just disappear from my life for 30 years?
I just want to say, the definition of soup is a liquid dish, typically made by boiling meat, fish,
I just looked
or vegetables
in
stock or water. But that says typically, not always.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, it's not. Gazpacho doesn't go against the definition of soup. It's just an outlier.
I like tomato juice, but I don't like gazpacho.
Is it because you don't like the cilantro that's often in it? Or like the breadcrumbs?
I don't like the cilantro flavor with the tomato flavor. I just don't like it. I just find it to be like...
I will say, in a way, it's less tomato-y than you would think.
And it's watery, though. Like, it's kind of watery. It doesn't have as much flavor. Like, it doesn't really have a lot of flavor. It's a very mild, boring flavor.
I think you're having bad gazpacho.
No, I'm not having gazpacho. Full stop. I'm not. So I'm not having bad gazpacho. I'm not having good gazpacho. I'm just not having it.
Union Market has really good gazpacho, but I don't like the watermelon one because it's too spicy for me.
Everything's too spicy for you, Juliet.
Most things are. That's
watermelon
correct.
Is too spicy for you.
It's watermelon gazpacho and it's extra spicy.
That does not sound good. It's really watery. Like, it's just not, doesn't have a lot of flavor. And the cilantro part, just no, I don't want anything to do with gazpacho.
All right. The thing is, this is such a strong personal preference. It's a little bit, I'm going to give you this one. I think that almost all of our food fights, I win as a superior debater. But this one, I think that I could see your point.
Really?
Like I like it. But I think everything you're saying, I get. Like, it resonates.
Yeah, you said you like it from one place, one time, one summer.
It's just, I don't necessarily want to order it all the time, but I do like it.
But another thing I don't like
about...
I'm
not a soup person. I'm not a liquid meal person.
You know I'm a soup person. But I think people are like, it's hot outside and I want soup, so I'm going to have cold soup. It's like, how about this? Have a beverage. You know, it's like, have a beverage and then eat some food.
My biggest problem with gazpacho is it's like secretly bad for you. It's secretly loaded with carbs because there's tiny bread. There's like tiny breadcrumbs in it. A good one.
Oh, God. I hate things that shouldn't be bad for you that are bad for you. Like, eating hummus one time and someone was just like, there's a lot of carbs in that. You know that? And I was like, this doesn't even taste that good. You know what I mean?
I love hummus. It's a different kind of carb than bread.
It should be good for you, right? Like hummus it's shouldn't bad be bad for you. It doesn't taste good enough to be bad for you.
Disagree. I love hummus, but it's also not bad for you. It's high in fat, but like depends on what kind of diet you have and whatever. But it's just gazpacho is secretly carb heavy. Like bad carbs, not good carbs.
Not good. I'm out on gazpacho. I won. I can't believe that you admitted that I won a food fight. It's a big day.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for me too. I want you to remember this when you think I'm like being unfair or just won't give in. Like I give in to reason, and today's that day.
Great. That's so exciting.
Congrats. Savor it. It'll never happen again.
When I started talking about gazpacho after you were about to move on, I was like, just get out. She already said you won. It's like, just move on.
You just can't help yourself.
Why are you still going back in on gazpacho?
Let's get into today's taste test.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What do you got, Juliet?
Well, I went to one of my favorite stores. I don't know if you know this about me, Jacoby, but I am a Maxinista. I love TJ Maxx. And
really?
I go
You're a Maxinista?
Very frequently, yes.
Huh.
I also like Marshalls and Home Goods, same company. But when I go to TJ Maxx, the clothes and the shoes are like totally besides the point to me. Like I exclusively buy pillows and bath towels at TJ Maxx.
Interesting.
Like, great deals, just great deals. And the thing that's always the most intriguing to me and also the most terrifying is the snacks. And I always want to try basically everything I see, everything that's in the line as I'm waiting to pay. I'm just like, I would fucking love to try that. So I was there today and I was like, what should I get for food news? Like, what can I indulge myself in? So I have found something that is called ice cream that doesn't melt. It is 100% real ice cream. It is freeze dried and it is from a company called Super Garden. Our intern Olivia made a good point. When you go to TJ Maxx and you buy food, you literally have no idea how long it's been sitting on a shelf or from where it came. But it's freeze dried and advertised as something for astronauts. And so it has to be fine for me.
I don't think anyone goes to TJ Maxx to buy food. They just end up buying food at TJ Maxx.
Yeah. I want to be ending up buying food, but I almost never do. So okay. I was like, today's my day. This was made in Lithuania. Just want to mention that.
What year?
Unknown.
Lithuanian freeze-dried ice cream. That's what the taste test is today.
It looks like sidewalk chalk,
yes.
But it's white.
It looks like sugar cubes, kind of.
And it's like has like a weird
it's
like
actual ice
chalky.
Cream, so it's like dairy.
Here are the ingredients in English. Vegetable fats.
That's the first ingredient?
Yep.
That's not good.
Sugar.
Okay.
Whey and skimmed milk powder.
Okay.
Glucose, fructose, and sucrose, all the sugars. Emulsifier, vanilla flavor, and that's it. It claims this was frozen and freeze-dried. It's just very hard to believe that's true.
I just wonder why Lithuania. You know what I mean? Like, why Lithuania?
It tastes like vanilla freeze-dried ice cream.
I mean, it's ice cream. Yeah, it's going to be good. I've got
honestly,
a product.
It is good. If I were in space, I would eat this.
What if you were in Lithuania?
I don't know. I guess I would also... This is so weird. I just want to read to you. This freeze-dried ice cream is called astronaut's ice cream as this lyophilized snack was developed for the Apollo mission.
Oh.
You can keep it at room temperature. It will not melt. I can tell you that's true. This is definitely one of the weirdest things I've done for food news. Thanks for coming on this journey with me.
It's a great journey. I enjoyed every second of it. And a very quick question. Do you believe in the moon landing?
Yes. I have some other thoughts I could share, but I will not at this time.
Okay. I respect your boundaries. I have something that I've always wanted to try. Everyone's seen this snack. Everyone has seen it and everyone has wanted to buy it, but I don't think anyone's ever bought it before.
Well, I just want to tell you the place that I often see this snack is at TJ Maxx.
You're really doing some food shopping over at TJ Maxx.
2 minutes.
This
no,
is...
just that I, When I'm on Cape Cod, I go to TJ Maxx 5 out of 7 days a week just to walk
that's
around.
That's insane. That's absolutely insane.
I just like to browse.
That is absolutely insanity. I'm not even going to ask any follow-up questions. Wow.
Carry on.
5 out of 7 days?
In the winter, it's open late and the sun goes down. So I'm like, okay, cool.
So it's 10 o'clock at night. You're just like hopping in the car, driving over to TJ Maxx to look at like some Nautica t-shirts for discount prices. Yeah,
it's very close. They have really good beauty supplies too. So it's like, oh, what makeup can I get on discount or whatever?
Wow. These are Muddy Bites, waffle cone snacks. They are the very bottom of the cone filled with chocolate. We've all seen these. We've all wanted these. I know it's going to be great.
Sweet
this is
something
nation. I'm so glad that I'm here right now sharing this with you guys because I know this is going to be awesome. This cannot disappoint.
Also, expectations are very flavor, high. Muddy Bite flavor is really good. I always like the Muddy Buddies, like all of that. I mean, I'm sure it's awesome.
So good.
They always have those at TJ Maxx, so check it out.
I'm not going to check it out. I'm not going to TJ Maxx.
Here's what I like to buy at TJ Maxx. Sunscreen, towels, pillows, socks.
Lithuanian free dress ice cream.
And now Lithuanian snacks.
Yes, great. I'm glad you're having a good time. Muddy Bites, if you've seen these things in the grocery store, you've thought about buying them, just buy them. They're excellent. They're absolutely excellent.
All right, time for personal food news.
30 seconds.
I recently had Fruit Loops for dessert. I was like, oh, I just need a sweet. What do I have? And I had Fruit Loops. And I was just thinking, most cereal should be marketed as like a dry, on-the-go dessert.
It's a great call. It's a great call.
Thanks. Thank you.
Indulging in a sugary cereal from time to time is a wonderful treat.
Because I loved it.
You can't buy a whole box and eat like Trix for breakfast. Like, that's insane.
No. Of course not. If can't you even get have Frosted those, Flakes for breakfast.
But even like those, an individual cup of Apple Jacks. Like, when's the last time you had like Apple Jacks? So
not
good.
Recent enough. Not recent
so
enough.
So good. Like, have everyone listening to this, just get a little individual cup of Apple Jacks, put some whole milk in there.
Oh, yeah.
Have yourself a day. Have
Fuck
yourself
yeah. That's a great day.
Just, how could it go wrong? Anything could happen. If I finish my day with a bowl of Apple Jacks, wiped clean. Clean
I had
slate.
These Fruit Loops dry. But it was
it's great.
Awesome.
It's amazing.
Yeah, loved it.
You know, I love tuna salad. We've discussed this. I make great tuna salad. And I went to a deli that I don't normally go to, and I was going to get a tuna sandwich. This happened today. And I pointed at the tuna sandwich. I go, tuna salad, roll, toasted. And he goes, which tuna salad? I was like, huh. And then he pointed to the variety of different tuna salads they had. They
had the differences.
Regular, vegetable, and Mexican. And I was like, first off, I was like, this is brilliant. It should be like cream cheese. Like there should be 20 different flavors of this stuff. I was like, this is brilliant. I was so shocked. And he was like, what type of tuna? I was like, huh. And then when he said Mexican, I was like, talk dirty to me. I was like,
what's in it?
It was like kind of like with some taco seasoning, basically.
Oh, cool.
And some onions. It was just kind of like a taco-themed tuna salad. And it was fantastic. Fantastic. And it made me think, like, maybe we've been approaching tuna salad wrong this whole time. Maybe tuna salad, like cream cheese, is just a base for different varieties.
Huh. I'm going to think on that. But I will say cream cheese flavors have gone too far.
That's way too far.
Undoubted.
Sometimes I'm in there, I'm like, who's ordering that? Like, who's getting that?
One of my bagel places has like Cookie Monster cream cheese, but I think it's blue cream cheese. It's just disgusting.
Just no.
No. And like, just like, don't even let your child have that. It's still good cream cheese habits.
I don't want lox mixed into my cream cheese.
Yeah,
you know that one?
I
don't like
yeah,
that one. Those are separate
I get mixed
to me.
On that.
Those are separate
I'm mixed on it. So it depends on the lox. To me, it indicates the lox isn't good. So they're like, oh, we'll just throw it into the cream cheese.
Yeah,
so
or it's old lox.
Yeah, it's the problem.
No, thank you. Well, tuna salad. Who knew?
That sounds great. Love tuna salad. Let's get into some listener food news.
Hey, Juliet and Jacoby. This is Nora calling from California.
And this is Dan.
We love the pod. We went to see Barbie last week for the first time being in theaters in a really long time. And we came across some Reese's Animal Crackers snack collabo.
Whoa.
And I'm wondering, I know Juliet is a big Reese's fan.
Whoa.
If you've come across these, what you think. They're not like fully dipped in as like you would expect them to be. They have like peanut butter on one side,
Whoa.
Chocolate on the other.
Whoa.
Which I think is a very impressive choice. And yeah, we found them delicious. So just calling in to see if you've tried them, and also just curious, after listening last week to the Skittles mustard conversation, if there are other snack collabos that you are favoring or that you would like to see. Okay, love the pod.
Thanks, guys. I love how she was like, I'm in California, and then he's like, and I'm Dan. It's really like, I'm Barbie. It's Barbie, and I'm Ken.
Shout out to Nora and Dan. Power couple.
I have not seen that snack.
No, but it's but one of those things where you're just like, that works. That works.
Animal crackers are really underrated and a really great dipper, so almost anything could go on them and they'd be good.
Yes, they remind like Dunkaroos. Remember Dunkaroos? There's a little bit of a Dunkaroo renaissance.
Love Dunkaroo.
But Dunkaroos are kind of slowly coming back. And that again, animal crackers are a great dipping vehicle. This is a no-brainer. Producer Mike is probably already Googling these. These will be in our possession soon. I'm very excited about it. And for her second question is actually something I saw on TikTok. Recently, I got the pickle spice. You know what that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen someone put it on plain goldfish, like just dump a bunch of pickle powder into a goldfish bag and shake up the goldfish.
That sounds really good.
That sounds amazing. I can't wait to do it. And that, to answer Nora and Dan's question, would be my ideal sort of like collaboration combination. Yours?
I don't know, but I have a Dunkaroo story that I'd like to share instead.
All right. More personal food news. Bonus personal food news in the overtime here. What an episode.
My friends Will and Steph had a rager a couple months ago, and Steph is like the consummate host.
Did the subway break down and then you stopped when you got Mexican food?
This was in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
She had a lot of different snacks at the party. So when people got the munchies, they had snacks available to them, and included in that was a lot of Dunkaroos. And so I had Dunkaroos, and that was fucking great. And I also brought home an extra one so I could have one when I got home.
Okay, hold on. Did you tell her that you were taking one home?
No, but
so you stole Dunkaroos from her.
I was one of the last people at the party.
I do not think it's okay to take packaged food from someone's home and then take it to your home.
Wasn't at her home without letting them know.
That's
what I say. It wasn't at her home. It was like an offsite party.
Okay. All right. That's better then.
She definitely didn't care. It wasn't like stealing from her. It was like extra party food.
A little bit.
We'll get Steph to call in and let us know if she felt I was stealing from her.
I thought it was her house.
Thanks to our producer, Mike Wargon. Thanks to Nora and Dan. We will not be back next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening, everybody.